Good evening, all of you. I'm Rabbi J.J. Schechter. Welcome to the next session. And it's really an honor and a privilege for me to be here. I want to thank everybody at YU, at Reitz, who is responsible for putting together this absolutely incredible and extraordinary program. And particular thanks to Rabbi Dov Winston, who has devoted so much time and effort to be able to do this. I don't know if you have my sheets in front of you. I'm going to see if I could share my screen with you. And if I can, then I would like to be able to proceed with the shear. So I think I have it here. Okay. Because annotation is disabled, your participants need to upgrade to the latest version of Zoom to share their screen. So Rabbi Winston, what do we, is that a good thing or not a good thing?
I think we're good. I think everyone can see your screen. So I would say just keep going.
Okay, fine. Thank you. So what I would like to do tonight, in anticipation of Shavuos that begins tomorrow, is to focus on the second half of the Luchos, and in particular on issues insofar as they pertain to Ben Adam Lachavero. The first part of the Luchos, as we know, is primarily identified with Ben Adam Lamakom, and the second side with Ben Adam Lachavero. And I'm doing a lot of thinking these days about interpersonal relationships and how central they are for the world in which we live, and how central they are also with regard to the holiday of Shavuos. And I would like to devote our attention in the next half hour or so to this subject. Now, the notion of Kavod HaBriyos is a huge, huge issue. It has recently been the subject of a lot of academic and Torah attention. There are some serious halachic implications with regard to this principle, even insofar as they relate to mitzvos and to the extent to which they can possibly even overweigh mitzvos. But I want to focus specifically on the human dimension of Kavod HaBriyos, not the halachic dimension, the human dimension. And I'd like to take my point of departure, one of the Sichos Musar of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. You see here in the middle of the first page, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who is a Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, delivered Sichos Musar in the Yeshiva in the Mir in the 60s and 70s, late 60s into the 70s, through the 70s, and 3 years were printed up. And this is Sichos Musar from 1972. It's called Kavod HaBriyos, and this to me is the point of departure. So I'd like to work off of this, work through this, work back through the sources, and hopefully leave you with something to think about as we think about so many things on Shavuos or before Shavuos. The Meiri says in Brachos, in source number one, on the right side of page one, Kavod HaBriyos chaviv ad ma'od, ein lecha mida chaviva mimena. So that's quite a statement, and I choose it. I don't know how really seriously he meant it, how literally he meant it. But even if he didn't mean it literally, he meant it hyperbolically, and that's also something significant. That Kavod HaBriyos are chaviv ad ma'od, they're very special, they're very beloved, they're very precious. Ein lecha mida chaviva mimena, there's nothing more beloved and more precious than that. So even if it's not 100% correct in terms of its literal interpretation, ein lecha mida chaviva mimena, we might think of other things, but it certainly catapults this principle into the consciousness of all of us, and certainly on this forthcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos, where the second half of the Luchos reflect the centrality of Ben Adam Lachavero and Kavod HaBriyos. Now, I want to move incrementally from what might be considered to be less of a significant application, moving more and more and more to what is a more significant application. Pasuk says at the beginning of Dvarim, we hear on the left side of the first page, Ela Dvarim Asher Dimi Moshe Al Kod Yisrael Be'Evar Yardein. This is now the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. These are the words that Moshe shared with the Jewish people And what follows is a long list. Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Molsov, Ben Paran, Ben Tofel, a long list. And Rashi in his commentary says that these are all places, Umana Khan, Kol HaMakomos, Shehechisu Lifnei HaMakom Bohen. These are all places, if you parse them and you look and specifically analyze and identify to what each one is referring to a place where the Jewish people angered God. Lefichach sasam esadvarim ve'eskiram beremes. And that's the reason why they're cryptic. Arava, Mol, Sof, Bein Parm, between here, between there, Lavan, Chatzeros. These are not geographic designations that jump out at us that we obviously recognize. So they're deliberately obfuscated. They're deliberately hidden. Mipnei kavodan shel Yisrael. Since these are places where the Jews angered God, so now when Moshe is repeating and doing a retrospective, he's not going to mention them explicitly and directly and obviously. He's going to mention them beremiza, beremez. There'll be a hint because you know what? You and I know what we're talking about. I don't have to like open it up. I don't have to make it so obvious. You know, between us, we know what this is and let's move on. Says Rab Chaim, he quotes this pasuk and he quotes this Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu yamim sforim lifnei Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu a few days shortly before he died, when he comes to rebuke the Jewish people for all of the sins, and among these sins are significant sins. Among the sins alluded to in this verse, in the first verse in Sefer Dvarim, are Baichig Averis, Ubeneim Chet HaMeraglim, and also Chet HaEgel. These are sins that have massive implications. Huge difference. So we're not talking about asinale, like a little, you know, like a side little indiscretion. We're talking a gezunta avera, not one but two. And yet, afo pi kein nizhar shelo lefaret hasachato and beferish. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be careful. He didn't want to explicitly mention them kadei shelo levaisha, not to embarrass them. Af shahaya bezem mishum mitzvas tochacha. You know, you could make a big argument for the reason why he should have been more explicit, because he wants to rebuke them. Hareze melamdenu ma gedola malas kavod abrios, v'chiyuv hazihirut bazeh, how careful we have to be with kavod abrios. Continues Reb Chaim, another example. We know from the beginning of, now in source number 3, at the bottom of the first page, we know from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel that Elkanah had two wives, Chana and Penina had children, and Chana did not have children. And the pasuk says, the simple pshat of the pasuk is, "V'chiasata tsarasa gamkas." It would appear that Penina was provoking Chana. She was provoking Chana. She was saying things that were not appropriate. You can only begin to imagine what Chana feels about herself, and in particular, in contrast to Penina, and Penina somehow making life difficult for her. Says the Gemara in Bava Basra, Penina l'shem shamayim nischavna, that she really meant it l'shem shamayim. What does it mean that she meant it for the sake of heaven? She meant it for the sake of heaven so she could motivate Chana to daven even harder to have children. That she made her feel even worse, not because chas v'shalom, she wanted to lord it over her and to make her feel terrible. But she did it only to be able to have Chana even more want to pray, even greater, even deeper want to pray. Azazak the Gemara in Bava Basra. Says Reb Chaim at the top of the next page. There's a Maimer Chazal that says something really horrific, horrific, horrific about Penina. She lost all of her children. Mesu kol baneha. She lost her children. In fact, Reb Chaim, if she did it l'shem shamayim, if she provoked Chana only because she wanted to benefit Chana, so why does she have such a terrible end? And he says something powerful. And if this was all the takeaway from tonight is, this alone would be worth it. V'chol kach lama. Why was this so terrible? Reb Chaim, I had the privilege of learning in the Mir in Yerushalayim in the late 60s, and I used to hear Reb Chaim every week. Reb Chaim had an exquisite neshama besides being a massive powerhouse of a Talmud Chacham. He had a sensitivity to him. Listen to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. What was so bad about what Pnina did? Ki hapogeya bechaveiro. If somebody hurts somebody else, listen to this. Yihiyu machshavos of Asher Yihiyu. Whatever your reason is, whatever your consideration is, whatever you have in mind, whatever is motivating you. If you hurt your friend, you say something that makes your friend feel bad. Harehu kemachnes yado lesoch tanur esh. You've put your hand into the fire. Ve'ena kavana hatovi yacholun l'shanos bazem uma. You can have all the beautiful kavanas in the world. You have a baby who's a year old, and your baby is next to the stove, and the baby's ready to put her hand into the fire. So you pull your hand into the fire and pull out the baby. I understand, of course you did it, because you had a good intention. You wanted a rata for your kid. But you stuck your hand in the fire, it's going to burn. Whatever your cheshbon was, it doesn't matter. You hurt somebody, your hand is in the fire. I did it l'shem shamayim. Doesn't matter why you did it. You stuck your hand into fire. V'hareyu kemachnis yado l'toch taner esh. V'ena kavona hatov yecholo l'shanos bazeh ma'uma. No good cheshbonis, no kavonis are going to matter. Hasakana sheba'aveira ben adam l'chaveiro. He can metzius tivis. It's natural. Mamish kishem sha e sorefes b'derechatav. It's really an extraordinary notion. You hurt somebody, you just stuck your hand into the furnace. That's all. That's what it is. And there are implications. And you have to be careful. Let's move on to another example. The Gemara says in Brachas, I'm just going to summarize in source number 4. There was this whole debate between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua about a specific halachic issue. And the Gemara goes ahead to say that Rabbi Gamliel mistreated Rabbi Yoshua, did not treat Rabbi Yoshua with great respect, so much so that the rabbis were so perturbed by this that they felt that they had to depose Rabbi Gamliel. Vi pastis to Rabbi Gamliel, who hurt Rabbi Yoshua to such an extent, the pastis, that he should continue to be the chief rabbi. So it's time to move him on, and we have to put somebody else. Says the Gemara, who are we going to do? Who are we going to put in? Tar v'navre, we have to remove him. Manokim le, so who are we going to appoint? Says the Gemara, underlined, middle of, towards the top of page 2, text number 4. Nukme le Rabbi Yoshua, bal maisahu. But you're going to appoint Rabbi Yoshua. He's the baldover. It's going to make Rabbi Gamliel feel bad. I mean, he's the exact reason why we're removing Rabbi Gamliel. So if you put him up, then the contrast, the in your faceness of this appointment, will be hurtful to Rabbi Gamliel. Says the Meiri on this pasuk and on this Gemara and Brachas. He says that the reason why we do it is because we don't want to embarrass Rabbi Gamliel. V'chein motzinu b'machlokes shel Korach. The Meiri says the same rationale applies to the debate, to the machlokes that Korach had with Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the Torah say? Who is the one who should demonstrate that Korach made a mistake? Emor el Elazar ben Aharon v'yarem esamachtos. Vosepes Alozer ben Aaron should have told Aaron. Aaron should have been the one to lift up the pans and to demonstrate that God favored him and his brother Moshe and not Korach. Vosepes Alozer ben Aaron zoktemi iri v'lo rotza Hakadosh Baruch Hu lomer kein la'Aaron atzmo kedei lelame derech eretz bekach elaborerim lahem acher gadol v'hagun b'chol davar u'memaneno so. Somebody else does it, not the person who's the baldover. Would have been too painful for Korach if Aaron would have been the one to hold it up in front of him. Would have been too painful. Rav Chaim says something incredible. He says, I don't understand. He quotes the Gemara. V'hadvarim mafliim, a little further down on the right side of page 2. This is wondrous. Bishloma Rabban Gamliel, I understand. I understand the case of Rabban Gamliel. You don't appoint Rabbi Yoshua because Rabban Gamliel is fart given a vayli yit, fart given a fine Talmud Chacham, fart given a manig Yisrael. So he deserves our respect. All right, he did something wrong, but he deserves our respect. And to appoint Rabbi Yoshua would have been a pesashtikala over the top, it would have been too much. But Korach, have to worry about Korach's feelings? Korach have to care about? Avol elu masayim v'chamishim ish makrivei aktores hachatoim ben avshosam. They were hilarious, these chevra. They were pointing out, they were challenging the authority of Moshe and Aaron. Terrible people. And Hashem said they have to burn them and they're going to be swallowed up. All kinds of things. We're not talking here about Vayla, Faina, Tyra mention. Korach, yet I have to worry about Nebuch, Korach. We might hurt their feelings. So I'm not going to ask Aaron. I'm going to ask the son of Aaron. So he says Rav Chaim, that it applies even in the case of Korach. Afilu elu shehayu b'nei maves v'noadim el Hashem ein kavodam hefker. Yes, they're going to be punished, but they don't get punished a smidgen, a dropola more, because we still need to treat them with whatever respect we can. What happens to them is not my cheshbon, but to add on to it, to pour more fuel into the fire of the punishment, even Korach, I have to be sensitive to, and I have to care about. Let's move on. Another example, a similar kind of an example. We are familiar, I would say, many of us, most of us, are familiar with the famous Talmudic passage of Maseches Gittin that is relevant to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The famous story in the Gemara about Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, and there's a there's a party, and this one gets invited, and this one shows up, and he's the enemy, and he's embarrassed, and he ends up going to the king and telling the king, Mor Dubach Yehudoi. He snitches to the king, and he tells the king that the Jews are rebelling against you, and it results in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. This one man was responsible for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. He was embarrassed, he was humiliated at the meal, and he got so distraught and so upset, no less than precipitate, no less than the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, concludes the Gemara. After presenting this entire story, Bo ure'e kama kocha shel busha. Wow, you embarrass somebody. You embarrass somebody. Wow, look at the implications. Sha'are siyeya HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Bar Kamtza, because God allowed Bar Kamtza to do this. Ve'hechariv es beso. The Sarah Hesechon. Nebuch Bar Kamtza was offended. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Bar Kamtza was offended. Says Rab Chaim that the principle of Kavod HaBrios doesn't only apply to great people and doesn't even apply to a group of people. Even in the case of Korach, it was a group of people. Hine Busha Zu. We're not talking here about a group of people who were embarrassed in this story that I just summarized for you. One guy, one yidala gets embarrassed. And who are we talking about? Because of his embarrassment, he did not stop at ending up being a pursuer, a rodef, destroying the Jewish temple, destroying the Jewish state. Terrible. Af boshto shel adam mushches zeh, this low life, this mushches, this despicable person. Bokas Rekiyim, it pierces the heavens. Vehihi, Shehechrivas Beis HaMikdash V'Sarfas HaHich. The power, and it really is extraordinary. It's extraordinary, the power of humanness, the power of relationships, the power of respect, and the danger of disrespect, the incredible danger of disrespect. You'd think they had every reason to disrespect Korach, No, I have to worry about Korach. And now the pièce de résistance in Reb Chaim's Sichas Musar. When I saw this, I could not believe it. When I saw this, I had seen this Rashi, but it never registered. And I was really affected by this, deeply affected. Listen to this. Rashi says, we're now at the top of page 3 in source number 6. We're now in Parshas Balak. So we're introduced to a guy by the name of Bilam. Last I checked, Bilam was not a favorite guy. Bilam was not on our side. Yeah, I know at the beginning he was dancing around, asks Hashem, should I go, should I not go? Balak came to him to do clearly the opposite of bless the Jewish people. That's what he wanted. The opposite of blessing the Jewish people. And what ended up happening? That's what happened. He ended up doing that. And the Torah tells us a whole story about an animal, a donkey, who stopped Bilam when he was on the way, and he goes to this side and he goes to this side. And the donkey was smarter than Bilam. In the Torah, Bilam, the great, great Bilam, was unable to overcome the donkey. The donkey was toe-to-toe with Bilam, says the Medrash, quoted by Rashi, Haraktiha. After this whole event, let's look at the Medrash first. The Medrash is on the left-hand side, the Medrash Rabbah. This is the Medrash that Rashi is basing himself on. Rashi says, the Medrash says as follows. The Medrash says, Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kvodo Shel Oso Rasha. That after this whole event, God killed the donkey. Why did God kill the donkey? Vas Vilman Nebuch from the donkey. The donkey was a good guy. The donkey was able to parry and overcome Bilam. What do you want from the donkey? Listen to a medrash. Chasa Kodesh Baruch Hu al Kvodo Shalosa Russia. Kodesh Baruch Hu cares about. How does he translate it here in English? That God has consideration for the dignity of that villain. Chasa Kodesh Baruch Hu al Kvodo Shalosa Russia. Shalo Yomru Zu Haisa Shesilka Es Bilam. You know what's going to happen? If the donkey is alive, the donkey's going to walk around. And when anybody ever sees the donkey, they're going to go like this. They're going to say, hey, you see that donkey? That donkey bested Bilam. That donkey is smarter than Bilam. You thought Bilam was a prophet, and Bilam was so famous, and Bilam had such powers. The donkey is better than Bilam, and you know what's going to happen? I, Nebuch, Bilam, he's going to feel bad. Nebuch, Bilam's going to be embarrassed. The donkey is better than he. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Zok the Heilige Medrash. He kills the donkey. He rubs out the donkey. So nobody should ever be able to point to the donkey and say the donkey is better than Bilam because I don't want to embarrass Bilam. Azazak the Medrash. Look at Rashi. It's quoted by Rashi in Chumash. In Bamidbar, Perek Chav Beis, Pasek Lamed Gimel. Haragtiha. This is the animal. I have killed it. Shalo Yomru, so people should not say, Zuhi Shesilka Bilam Bitochachta. This is the animal that silenced Bilam by its, the animal's rebuke. V'lo Yachol Lahashiv, and he had no answer. The animal was much smarter than he was. Shechas HaMakom Al Kavod HaBrios. Because God cares about, God is concerned about human dignity. God is concerned about human dignity. So God takes away the donkey so that Bilam should not be embarrassed. Rav Chaim goes to town here on this. Rav Chaim just can't believe this. We have to read this inside. V'chem atzino bebilo. Shemiyad la'achar she'asona hochicha oso mesa. Immediately after the donkey rebuked him and indicated that the donkey was smarter than he was, mesa, the donkey died. Shelo yomru zuhi she'silka es bilam b'tochachta. Nobody should say, ha, 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 see that? See that donkey? That's a sharp donkey. That donkey humiliated Bilam. Nobody should be able to say that. Bilam was not able to respond. Listen to Reb Chaim. Who was Bilam? Who are we talking about here? Who's Bilam? Bilam haya avi avos kol hapchisius sheba'olam. Bilam was the epitome of the biggest lowliness in the whole world. He was the master lowlife. He was a manuvel. He was a mushchis. He was a chaleria. He was an icewarf. He was horrible. What did he want to do, Bilam? He wanted to do the opposite of bless us. It doesn't get worse than him. He's the avia vice of disgustingness. And yet, afal pk, nichshash lepigia bekvaydo, because we're worried. Oy, Nebuch, I'm going to embarrass him. Hemis hakadosh baruch hu esas. Says Rav Chaim, look at it the other way. Amazing. Va'afal pi she'ilu ha'isa ha'ason chaya. Let's say the donkey was still alive. Hayakan kiddush Hashem would have been a kiddush Hashem. Kol roa osa haya omer. The donkey walks around. Everybody looks at the donkey and says, Zusha Pasach Hashem Espia. You see what happens when you want to curse the Jewish people? A donkey is better than you. They should have taken this donkey, Zakram Chaim, put him on the road, go to every city, make him the guest of honor at every dinner, give him after Yoina. This is, whoa! This is what happens. This is what happens. When you want to mess with the Jews, a donkey is better than you. We could have scored huge with this donkey. Huge. Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. Says Reb Chaim. No, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Mikol makom. Kivin sheyesh b'hashirusa b'chaim. Had this donkey remained alive, there would have been a pegiya kala, a pesashtika la'unririnish. A little bit of a, like an embarrassment, little bit of like a discomfort. Bepochus shebepchusim zeh, with this lowlife? The lowlife would have epis had epis a shtikala discomfort? Had the donkey been alive? Chasamokam al kvayde vehenes esas. Unbelievable. No, I understand that I should be concerned about Bnei Yisrael and not lay out all the names of the places where they sinned in graphic detail. I understand that Rabbi Gamliel, I shouldn't appoint Rabbi Yoshua to take over for Rabbi Gamliel because it's a shtickle embarrassing. But Korach I have to worry about? And now Bilam? It's shocking. It's really shocking. Wow, could I have scored if I would have trotted this Ason around? What a Musar Haskell this Ason would have been. How many points I could have scored with this donkey to make it clear. This donkey, a donkey, is smarter than somebody who wants to mess with the Jews. But I give it all up. Even for the Pochus Shebepchusim, the avia voice of all the Pchisius, the biggest manuvel mushchus chaleria, icewarf lowlife Bilam. Ay, Nebuch, he's going to feel bad. He's going to feel bad. Okay, he's going to feel bad. I have to worry about it. And I want to conclude with the last point that Reb Chaim made. Again, I want to just reiterate what I said at the beginning. This is a very substantial sugya that has all kinds of very powerfully important implications. But I just wanted for this yomtiv, because my mood, I guess, is in the space of caring about people. This is a difficult time. And there are people who are hurting. And my focus is on people and trying to help people and care for people. So here you see such an extreme example of Kavod HaBrias. Who could be as bad as Bilam? Nobody in the world is as bad as Bilam. So Kavod HaBrias is really central. And Reb Chaim comes and concludes with something really beautiful. Nimtzinu lemeidim, and now at the bottom of the last page, page 3. Ad kama godol Kavod HaBrias. Mi godol shebigdolim, from the greatest of the great, namely Rabbi Gamliel, ad hapochos shebepchusim, to the lowest of the lowlifes, Korach and Bila. Ask Rabbi Chaim, why is that so? V'chol kach lama. Why is Kavod HaBrios? Why is caring about the dignity of another human being, v'nish v, whoever that human being might be, why is it? Why is it so important? Why does the Meiri say it's like the most chavit thing? Why really does it matter? Okay, it's important. I understand it's important. But ad kidei kach? And he says something remarkable. He quotes a medrash, the medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, source number 7. The medrash says on the pasuk of v'hayisa rak lamayla. The pasuk says in Devarim Chav Ches, v'hayisa rak lamayla, and you will be rak lamayla. Says the medrash, God says this. Says the medrash, unesancha Hashem larosh v'lo lezonav, v'hayisa rak lamayla v'lo tiyah lamata. This is in Parshas Kisovo, when they're talking about the brachas. You're going to be like rak, like just about at the top. Just about at the top. Ask the Medrash Yachol Kamoni. You might think that you could be like God. God said, Vayisa Rak Lamaila. You might think that you could really reach the toppy top top like me. Talmud Loma Rak Lashon Miut Gidula Si Lamaila Migidulaschem. Therefore, the Torah says, Vayisa Rak Lamaila. It doesn't say Vayisa Lamaila. If it would say Ayisa Lemaila on top, you might think that we're just like God. We're as high as God. So it says, you know what, Ayisa, rock Lemaila, like a little bit off, not quite at the top. Second pasuk, Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be holy. Famous pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Yochol Kamoni. So God says, you might think that you're holy like me. Talmud Lomar Ki Kadosh Ani. I'm the one who's really ultimately holy. Kedushasi Lamaila Mikedushascha. So we have a rak and we have a Ki Kadosh Ani. Asks Reb Chaim, what's the Havamina? What are we talking about here? You might think that you're as high as God. Therefore, the pasuk has to say, no, add a word, lafuke, you know, it's really only rak lamayla. Kedoshim tiyu, you might think, is a havamim. You might think that you're holy like me. So the pasuk says, no, I, God, am ultimately the one who is the holiest. Vehine. Hava mina kazos, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, shel yochol kamoni, maflia osan. What do you mean, yochol? What, you would have thought? You would have potentially entertained a possibility that we could be as great as God? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He says, you know what? Amazing. Vahainu, you know why we can't imagine such a hava mina? Mishum she'ein anu yodim umakirim begadlus ha'adam. We don't know how great we are. We don't know the power of a human being. We don't know what we could accomplish. We don't know what heights we could reach. We don't know that. But Chazal knew that. And therefore, taka there was a havamin. It's not a maskana. Of course, it's not a maskana. We're not as great as God. But I can understand why for a half a second you would have entertained such a possibility, because human beings are amazing. Because human beings have tremendous koiches and tremendous power. The reason why we don't accomplish as much as we can accomplish is because we lack the confidence, because we don't think that we can accomplish. We underestimate our abilities. We underestimate the heights to which we can reach. And because a human being is blessed with such greatness, ad kidei kach that there's a hava mina, and that I need an extra word to say, no, you're not like God. Human beings have such tremendous powers. That's why we care about Kavod Abrius. That's why we care about other human beings. And that's why the second half of the Luchos is so centrally important. So it's obvious to us on the holiday of Shavuos, it's about Ben Adam Lamakom, and God gave us the Torah, and we're focused on our relationships with God, of course. But I want to underscore and highlight also, simultaneously, the power of appreciation of another human being. And maybe that is particularly centrally important to us these days, when we need to be thinking not only about our relationship with God, but what can we do to help people who are struggling deeply during this time, struggling with fear, struggling with health, struggling with economic challenges, struggling with distance. There's so many, many factors that people are struggling with. What can we do to try to be able to help them as best as possible? I wish all of you a Freilich and Erev Yom Tov. I want to thank once again Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ochanan for putting this together. It's amazing how many of you are on and have joined. And we should have a meaningful Yom Tov. We should have a healthy Yom Tov. And we should be able, as soon as possible, to be reunited with our communities and with our families, and to enjoy the understanding of humanity, the understanding of Jewish community as best as we possibly can. A Freilich and Erev Yom Tov, and a good Yom Tov.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Sheth.